second matter on our calendar is ITW Food Equipment Company LLC, AKA Hobart versus Minnesota Plumbing Board. As counsel are getting situated, I'll welcome you to the Court of Appeals. My name is John Rodenberg. With me is Chief Judge Cleary and Judge Bjorkman. Appellant will have 15 minutes for your principal argument, respondent the same, and then appellant under our rules will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if the appellant wishes to use that time. The podium is adjustable up and down. There's a little toggle switch underneath. When you begin your comments, give us your name so that we've got that for the recording. Take your time getting situated, and whenever appellant is ready to proceed, you may. In saying that, I'm not trying to rush anybody. Take your time.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Scott Russert. I represent Relator ITW Food Equipment Group, also known as Hobart. With me today is my colleague, David Warden. We're here today asking for a reversal of a decision by the Minnesota Plumbing Board with respect to an interpretation it made of the Minnesota Plumbing Code as it applies to the design of an ITW Food Equipment Group Model CLEN dishwasher, models of which are installed throughout Minnesota. More specifically, what we're asking, in keeping with the directive of citizens advocating responsible development versus Kandi Ohi County, is we're seeking reversal because the plumbing board did not take a hard look at the issue with the design of the ITW Food Equipment Group dishwashers, and because the plumbing board did not genuinely engage in reasoned decision-making when interpreting Table 603.2 of the Plumbing Code.
Well, counsel, as long as you bring up 603.2, you know, I've read it all. I've read the briefs. I've read both sides' interpretations. But upright position, no valve downstream, doesn't seem to be vague or ambiguous to me.
Well, that's a summary position of the applicable standard, truth be told. The applicable standard for atmospheric vacuum breakers is ASSE 1001. And Chapter 14 of the Minnesota Plumbing Code incorporates and says that all of the installations involving, in this case, an atmospheric vacuum breaker have to comply with and be in accordance with ASSE 1001. And in that circumstance, ASSE 1001 says that atmospheric vacuum breakers must be downstream of the last control valve. And the issue is the control valve portion. So while the summary table says no valves downstream, the applicable standard, the governing standard in this case, says that atmospheric vacuum breakers are all right as long as they are downstream of the last control valve. And in this case, it is. So that's the language that we're directing the court to as part of this.
But you do acknowledge that the rule provision 4714.04.142 provides that the water supply connection to a commercial dishwashing machine shall be protected by an air gap or a backflow prevention device in accordance with section 603.32.
Yes, 603.2.
Right.
And then 603.2, again, is more than just summary language in a box
right
on the table.
Right, but then you go to 4714.06032, which says backflow prevention devices and assemblies shall comply with Table 603.2, and we're back to that language.
Right, and it takes us, Table 603.2 also includes ASSE 1001. It is the applicable standard for that portion of the table.
Is there anything in the law, the regulations, that prevents the Minnesota Plumbing Board from adopting standards that are more restrictive or are different than ASSE and the other national standards?
Well, it can if it wants to, when adopting the Uniform Plumbing Code, which it did in this case, if it wants to amend the Uniform Plumbing Code in a way to make it more stringent, it could. And in this case, it didn't. When the Minnesota Plumbing Board adopted the Uniform Plumbing Code, it made no amendment to Table 603.2 or Section 603.2, nor did it take out the reference to Chapter 14 ASSE 1001. And obviously, as you point out, Your Honor, it could have had it wanted to amend that. And I think that's an important point to consider for this court, is that the Plumbing Board itself did not write this code. The Plumbing Board adopted the Uniform Plumbing Code, and in adopting the Uniform Plumbing Code, made no amendments to this particular provision. The
Uniform Code has this same table that has the same installation requirement that there be no valve downstream. That's part of the Uniform Code.
It's in the table, yes, and the Uniform Code also says that ASSE 1001 is the applicable standard. And an interesting point on that is that the entity that promulgates the Uniform Plumbing Code is IAPMO, the International Association of Plumbing and Mechanical Officials. That is the entity who promulgates the Uniform Plumbing Code. It was acknowledged when the board adopted the Uniform Plumbing Code in 2016 that it was the IAPMO's UPC code. And in this instance, when ITW Food Equipment Group was attempting to make its case to the Plumbing Board, it brought with it information from IAPMO, from that very promulgating body, that said this design meets the code because it complies with ASSE 1001, that the control valve is upstream of the atmospheric vacuum breaker and there's no risk of backflow.
Counsel, what's the significance on ASSE 1001 in the foreword when it references that compliance with the standard does not imply acceptance by any code body? It is recommended that these devices be installed consistent with local codes.
Correct.
Okay. And the local code is slightly different than what they've recommended here.
Well,
they reference control valves. This doesn't.
Well, but the local code is not different from the UPC at all. The local code is the same as the UPC.
Okay.
Moving backwards, an important point that I also wanted to make with respect to this court's standard of review in this case. Initially, the standard review is de novo, and then if the language that the agency is interpreting is clear and unambiguous, no deference is afforded to it. It sounds to me like the panel is not thinking that it's clear and unambiguous. In the event that there is some lack of clarity or some ambiguity, then the interpretation by the agency or the entity is one of longstanding, then deference is generally afforded to the administrative body, but only if the decision is reasonable. And one of the cases we cited, Citizens Advocating Responsible Development, sets forth a useful guidepost for assessing reasonableness, whether it's the decision under that standard is either arbitrary and capricious or it's unsupported by substantial evidence. We submit that each of those standards is in play here by the board. And furthermore, with respect to the arbitrary and capricious standard, there's a very good, in general, it always usually talks about the fact that it's an expression of the entity's will rather than its judgment. If it's just exerting its will, then it's arbitrary and capricious. But Citizens case also has some useful instructive language on how to assess arbitrary and capricious. And there are four factors, any of which, if present, constitutes an arbitrary and capricious decision. I'd also point out that those four factors are in the In Re Review of 2005 Annual Adjustment case, which was cited by respondent in their brief. And I'll note as a side note that it's very difficult to talk about the cases that get cited in these because the titles are always very long, and so it's difficult to figure out how to refer to them in shorthand. With respect to Citizens, what I'll call the Citizens case, the four factors are whether or not the entity, in this case the Plumbing Board, relied upon factors not intended by the legislature. That's not present here. We don't claim that it is. The second factor for assessing arbitrary and capricious decisions are if it entirely failed to consider an important aspect of the problem. Absolutely, we say that is here. The third, I'll come back to that, but the third, whether or not the plumbing board offered an explanation that runs counter to the evidence, yes, we say the answer to that is yes. The fourth factor in deciding arbitrary and capricious, if the decision is so implausible that it could not be explained as a difference in view or the result of the agency's expertise, we submit that that is present here, although only one of them need to be present for an arbitrary and capricious finding. We have three present. With regard to failing to consider an important aspect, as I've pointed out, the board utterly failed to consider the language of ASSE 1001. It's the applicable standard to that particular section of the code. They didn't read any of the language in it. And interestingly enough, when rendering their final interpretation, they claimed that they were making an interpretation that no valves are allowed downstream in accordance with ASSE 1001. That is not in accordance with ASSE 1001. ASSE 1001 doesn't say that. And we submit that had that board actually considered the language of ASSE 1001 and read it, they would have realized that the significant factor to consider is control valve, not any valve. I'd add that although we made objections within the appeal to comments made by board counsel during the hearing, board counsel actually did hit on that issue with respect to what does valve mean in the language about no valves downstream. And Ms. Todnum said, well, the question is, I suppose, what does valve mean? Are you talking about any valve? Are you talking about a specific valve? She's like, we don't know where to look for guidance. If only there was some place we could look for guidance to determine what they mean by valve. They did have guidance. It was right there in ASSE 1001, but no one looked at it because they mistakenly felt that ASSE 1001 said no valves downstream.
Which is what was on the table.
Pardon? That's in the table. But one of the board members on a few different occasions, I think board members themselves, said ASSE 1001 says no valves downstream, and ASSE 1001 does not.
And assuming we agree that that's just wrong, you know, what I'm trying to reconcile is the fact that ASSE 1001 says a lot of different things. I mean, it talks about installation, but it also talks about how vacuum breakers are to be constructed and how they are to function, and I mean, it doesn't go just to installation. Why wouldn't we read Table 60302 to say, yeah, the basic atmospheric vacuum breakers are governed by this in terms of how they are configured and installed, but plumbing code has some additional requirements in terms of installation that may differ. But why couldn't the plumbing board reasonably read the code or read ASSE 1001 and the code that adds an additional requirement together in that way?
The plumbing board may reasonably do that, but in fact, in this case, it didn't. Here, that's really one of the key issues here when we're struggling with this decision is at that hearing, ITW Food Equipment Group is given 5 minutes to try and make a hurried presentation about the design of its dishwasher, and then the discussion immediately goes to ASSE 1001 and gets framed with the idea that 1001 doesn't allow control valves downstream, and there's no way to correct that. And so the board never really did make a reasoned decision of anything. And in fact, if you look at some of the quotes from Chairperson Jacobs from the board, Chairperson Jacobs came in and had decided, we're not looking at anything else. This is the Minnesota code. We don't care what IAPMO says. We don't care what ICC says. We don't care what any of these other governing bodies say. Our code says no valves on the downstream side. Now, the fact of the matter is the code doesn't even say a downstream side. It just says downstream. It's not in the record, but the downstream side is language that goes back to prior codes. So the fact of the matter is the board came in and did not, it looked at the summary language in the table and chose to look no further. So, and I would submit that table itself is still not the, it's not intended to create an exception to ASSE 1001 because IAPMO, the governing body who wrote it, said so. in the materials that were provided. IAPMO says, yeah, the table is there. It says no valves downstream, but ASSE 1001 says this. The intent of this is to protect the potable water supply from backflow of harmful pollutants, and what is in place here does that, and therefore it complies with the Uniform Plumbing Code. It complies with ASSE. That's what IAPMO said. My time is running short. I'll also add that the second prong, in addition to looking at those four factors for arbitrary and capricious, is whether or not the decision is unsupported by substantial evidence. The reasoned decision, a hallmark of reasoned decisions in the reported case law, involve truly digging in and analyzing the issue. And I think two cases to look at are the Cable Communications Board case and the Citizens Advocating Responsible Development case. Cable Communications was a circumstance where the administrative decision was not reversed. It was let stand. And that's because that entity had considered hundreds of pages of written argument, thousands of pages of supporting documentation, and had three public hearings. The record was substantial. And in those circumstances, it felt that there was substantial evidence. That's stark contrast to what we had here. On the flip side, you've got Citizens, and Citizens was a situation where the agency decision was in fact reversed. And it was because there wasn't enough evidence in the record to show that the county in that case, Kandy, Ohio, had taken a hard look at the question. And the Supreme Court commented that the decision did not appear to be based on any real examination of the question, and it remanded the matter back. That fits very clearly with what we have going on in this case. There was no real examination of any of the RFI materials. They stopped at the summary language of the table, and that could be explained by their mistaken belief. I see that my time is up, but
you will have 5 minutes on rebuttal.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. Assistant Attorney General Chris Kaiserschott on behalf of the Minnesota Plumbing Board. This case involves an appeal on a very discrete legal issue involving the Plumbing Board's interpretation of a specific rule of the Plumbing Code pursuant to Minnesota Statute 326B.127. Contrary to counsel's representation and arguments in this court, the board is not approving product design. The statute specifically says to achieve uniform enforcement of the code, the board is the designated authority to interpret the code and what the code means. The code was interpreting a rule. The board was not approving a product design. To the extent they wanted that to happen, maybe they should have filed for a rule variance under 14.055.056 or done some other type of declaratory action where they could start talking about this rule shouldn't apply to us for such and such reason. What they're asking the board to do is, what does no valves downstream mean? That is what the board interpreted. So the judicial review of the board's interpretation on this is narrow and deferential, with a presumption of correctness attaching to the board's decision.
Is it presumed correct when it appears that the board did not consider the fact that the standard referenced in Table 603.2 differs from the description of the installation requirements in Table 603.2?
I'll answer that two ways, Your Honor. First, this is a new legal argument that they're raising. If you look at what they argued to the board, they were arguing the intent. The intent of the code is satisfied. We acknowledge that it says no valves downstream. Their own representative interjected at one point during board's deliberations, and this is at page 15 of the transcript. This is Joel Hipp again from Hobart. I just wanted to make clarification that the 2008 version of ASSE 1001 says no valve downstream, but the 2017 version does not allow valves downstream. Or it says does allow valves downstream in 2017, my apologies. So their own representative conceded at the board meeting that ASSE 2008 prohibited valves from being installed downstream.
But that's plainly wrong, right?
No. If you look at the installation instructions...
Standard itself says the device shall be installed downstream of the last control valve.
Correct. That's in the general standards. If you turn to paragraph 4, 4.3.1.2 specifies...
Oh, wait a minute.
At the very end.
4.3.1.2?
Correct. 4.3.1.2, it's in our brief, in the addendum, in the installation instructions.
Okay.
It says the AVB must be installed downstream of the last valve. It also says it must be installed in compliance with the local code. So that is the language from the board's perspective that says under ASSE 1001, that it has to be installed downstream of the last valve. It also hooks back in the local code. So here again, this is a new argument that they're attempting to raise at the Court of Appeals after arguing the spirit and the intent of the code to the board because the plain language worked against them. Now they're attempting to say, well, wait a minute, let's reconfigure our arguments. Let's say now for the first time on appeal that ASSE 1001 is the governing standard, and let's hang our hat on, it says control valve, when our own representative conceded at the board meeting that it prohibits all valves. So there's a little bit of a half step here.
It seems to me that's a misstatement. I mean, if you look at the request for interpretation, it seems to me that the relator made it very clear that they were distinguishing between control valves and all other valves being in the view of the relator being okay ASSE 1001.
Your Honor, what they specifically said in the request for interpretation is that the prohibition of no valves downstream is general guidance and not an enforceable criteria, and that they want to have the intent of the code. Now, if we're looking at a situation where we have the specific code language adopted by the board, Rule 603.2 says no valves downstream, and a referenced standard, not the governing standard as they keep on suggesting, but a reference standard, if those two conflict, basic canons of construction say that our code applies. All these other reference standards in the addendum that the board submitted, there are hundreds upon hundreds of reference standards throughout the code. So,
but this is a particular reference standard. I mean, this is referencing ASSE 1001.
Correct, Your Honor.
So that's pretty easy for the board to look at that. And there's nothing in this very brief opinion that suggests that they did the rigorous analysis and looked at 1.1, where the language is pretty clear that it's requiring installation downstream of the last control valve,
which seems
to differ from what Table 603.2 says.
It also says, Your Honor, downstream of the last valve in another section of ASSE 1001. So at best, what is happening here is there's an ambiguity as to what ASSE 1001 has out there, and from the board's interpretation, they reconcile that by saying, listen, the specific installation instructions, and let me back up for a second, the plumbing code only applies to installations. So we don't go back in time with the plumbing code. The plumbing code is focused on installations. So they went to the installation instructions and said, hey, this is what it prohibits. No valves downstream. And it also says you have to install it consistent with your own code. So to suggest that the ASSE is the governing standard is just erroneous. What's going to happen, Your Honor, yes, in this particular instance, it references one, but there are hundreds upon hundreds of these other reference standards that may have conflicting language, and by extension, what is being suggested is that every time there's a reference standard that conflicts with the express language of the code, that the reference standard now is the rule of law, and that just can't be the case under Minnesota law. The canons of construction say, hey, this is the language the board specifically adopted. No valve downstream. And to suggest that a reference standard has some ambiguity in one section, it references a control valve. And by the way, what's a control valve? That's not a defined term anywhere. A valve is a valve, according to the board chair with his point of view. So it references a control valve in one section. It says no valves in another section. The board, in its knowledge of the area, in its adoption of the code in the first place, with the expertise as plumbers, understands that, hey, this is a health and safety issue. We specifically said, and the UPC recognized, or the IAPMO and the UPC recognized, that an AVB is an inferior type of backflow prevention device. So therefore, we don't want valves downstream. Now, as to the point about what IAPMO said about it, I think counsel is a bit disingenuous with what he claims. In their own addendum, IAPMO, responding to their question at addendum,
Bernie, you add in the addendum,
addendum
please.
12,
okay, thank you.
UPC answers. On the bottom where it says the UPC answers, Table 603.2 of the 2015 Uniform Plumbing Code specifically prohibits the installation of valves downstream of an atmospheric vacuum breaker, period. That's what IAPMO told them. IAPMO went further on to say that, you know, the AVB, as shown in the attached drawing, would be sufficient backflow prevention. Well, one, that's IAPMO's opinion. They're not referencing ASSE 1001 here. They're saying valves are prohibited, but you know what? In the grand scheme of thing, we think that provides reasonable protection.
Well, they're talking about Table 603 in that answer, correct?
Yes, they are. They're not talking about 1001 as represented by counsel. They're talking about 6003, or I'm sorry,
603.
603.
And we all agree that just says no valves.
Right. They're not referencing ASSE 1001 here. They are offering an opinion that it provides reasonable protection. That is IAPMO's opinion, and frankly, IAPMO's opinion as to whether it's reasonable protection does not implicate the legal interpretation of what does 603.2 mean. This isn't a reasonable care standard. The only limited issue before this board is what does 603.2 mean? IAPMO agrees, no valves downstream. Now, they may have some thought as to, well, it's good enough, but that's not the issue before the board. And remember, these valves are being installed in commercial dishwashers in schools. So if there is a failure, we're talking about backflow of nasty substances going into the potable drinking water at schools.
Can I ask you a question? I'm still struggling with the relationship between the table and the standards that the table references, because there are, I'm looking on Addendum 28, and there are installation requirements, I guess, that are set out for the various device assembly methods of installation. So if I'm following you, your argument would be that the only requirements for AVBs would be those set out in the installation column, and that so that the requirements or standards set forth in ASSE 1001 don't apply. So someone could put, as long as it was in upright position with no valves downstream with the minimum of 6 inches, blah, 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 someone could install an atmospheric vacuum breaker that doesn't meet the other requirements of ASSE 1001?
No, Your Honor. What's going on, the installation column, these are the critical installation features declared by the board as part of the rule.
So if the AVB itself was deficient, didn't meet the ASSE standards, it doesn't matter under 603.2 because that the only thing that matters are the installation requirements?
No, Your Honor. It should be installed in accordance with the applicable standards. So it is saying in the installation, no valve downstream, period, end of story. And, by the way, when you install it in accordance with ASSE 1001. That is our reference standard. And as you can see from the table, Your Honor, there are 10 applicable standards referenced in all these different types of AVBs. In my addendum, I attach that there's hundreds of applicable standards referenced throughout. So we have to look at, by extension, what this argument is. They're saying anytime there's an applicable reference standard listed in this column, that it trumps regardless of what the code says. That can't be the rule. This is an applicable standard. This is guidance for installation, and yes, it can be a feature if it fails to comply with ASAC 1001. It may be yet another reason to tag the installation as non-compliant, but it's an additional reason. The primary function here is in this column, says no valves downstream. If ASAC 1001 conflicts with that, guess what? The table applies. Not ASSC 1001. We're not delegating the authority of the plumbing code to all these various manufacturing standards. That's not the way it works. Yeah, they can be good guidance, and they should be installed in accordance with that in the applicable situation. But what really matters here is no valves downstream. Now, as far as the due process arguments here, Your Honor, I'll just say they failed to establish any type of threshold constitutional liberty or property interest that was denied. The statute does not require an evidentiary hearing. There wasn't an evidentiary hearing put forth, so there wasn't testimony per se. If the legislature wanted to do that, they could have easily done that. They didn't do that. The board had broad discretion in how it was going to consider this issue. In this case, they said, submit us what you want. Unlimited submission. They could submit whatever written material they wanted for the board to consider their legal argument. This is a legal argument. What does the rule mean? Then they supplemented the materials. Then they were provided an opportunity to make a brief presentation to the board. They had a Q&A with the board after that. And then they even went so far as to interject unsolicited comments during board deliberations. When they disagreed with what the board said, they had all the process they had coming to them. As far as the board chair's participation, he's a member of the board. This is how boards operate. If somebody has an opinion, they say, hey, I disagree with this. Then a debate, a colloquy goes back and forth. Then ultimately a motion, second, and it passes. 9-1. So even if you want to say the chair acted improperly, which he didn't, the motion passed 9-1. Similarly with board counsel, she provided legal advice to keep the board on task with the issue before it as to the narrow issue. What is the interpretation of this rule? Hobart's representative agreed with her. This isn't product approval. This is legal interpretation. I see my time is up. The board requests you affirm. Thank you.
We just talked at a bench, before you start, we talked at a bench meeting yesterday, and we're going to disallow the use of electronic devices in the courtroom by anyone other than counsel. So you didn't probably know that, but I'm going to ask that you not. We just are concerned about parties might be taking photographs of one another or making threats or what have you. I'm sure you're not doing those things. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. There's a lot to unpack there, and I'll do my best to cover it in my allotted 5 minutes on rebuttal. The first point I want to stress, as there's discussion about plumbing code rules and plumbing code sections, the interpretation issued by the plumbing board was on table 603.2 only. It didn't interpret anything else. It strictly said the question, are valves allowed downstream from an atmospheric vacuum breaker under Minnesota plumbing code table 603.2? As far as whether or not ASSE 1001 is a guiding standard for that, that's not a new argument. That's not something that we're raising for the first time here. That's something that the board itself said.
Counselor, just to be clear, though, you agree that the Minnesota rule also references the table?
Yes.
Okay.
But what the board was interpreting was the table and the table alone.
That's pursuant to the Minnesota rule, too, as well, because the rule says that it shall comply with Table 603.2. So, indirectly, they're applying the rule and interpreting the table, right?
I don't know if they were doing that indirectly or not. All I know is what they said, and they said they're interpreting 603.2, and that's all they talked about at the board hearing. With respect to the information from IAPMO that counsel referred to, if you look at that entire submission, the request was made by ITWFEG to IAPMO for their assistance in this. They specifically referenced ASSE 1001, so that was part and parcel of that discussion from IAPMO. The UPC portion that IAPMO interpreted did say Table 603.2 specifically prohibits installation of valves downstream of AVBs. This requirement is to prevent the AVB from being subjected to constant working pressure from the water supply by closing a valve. With no downstream manual or mechanical valve to prevent the water pressure from dissipating after the operation of the rinse cycle, the AVB, as shown in the attached drawing, which is the ITW Food Equipment Group dishwasher, would be sufficient backflow protection. It complies with what is required for that table. Now, as
what does sufficient backflow protection mean there? Does that mean that it complies with 603.2? Does that mean it complies with 1001? Or does that mean, in my estimation, it would be a good idea?
Well, interestingly, 603.2 makes no reference to backflow protection, Table 6. But backflow protection is the whole point of, as counsel said, why it's in place. And the only where you see backflow protection and why backflow protection matters is in ASSE 1001. That's where it says that not only is it supposed to be downstream of the last control valve, but it's also supposed to supply sufficient backflow protection. So that's where that's coming in. So the AVB, IAPMO, the entity that promulgates this standard, this is not a Minnesota code. This is Minnesota adopting what IAPMO has promulgated, and the promulgating authority has said that it complies. Another point to make with respect to that ASSE 1001, not to keep beating this dead horse, but as far as Chapter 14 of the code states, standards, 1401.1 standards, the standards listed in Table 1401.1 are intended for use in the design, testing, and installation of materials, devices, appliances, and equipment regulated by this code. And then if you go into that table, you find that ASSE 1001 is listed as applying directly to Table 603.2. So we submit that is sufficient to demonstrate, contrary to counsel's argument, that it is in fact a governing standard as set forth by the plain language of the code. The final point to make with respect to that subpart, the subpart deeper into ASSE 1001. 4.3.1.2. Okay, 4.3.1.2 deals with packaging materials that are supposed to accompany atmospheric vacuum breakers. It doesn't have anything to do with the application of the standard itself. Section 1.1 has to do with the application.
So what your interpretation, I think that may be right, is that the installation, the printed materials shall include a statement, which is that there shall be no device downstream of the last.
Right. That's supposed to go in packaging materials. And as for counsel's representation, that's what the board was relying upon when it was saying no valves downstream.
Is that referenced in the board's determination?
No. There was no discussion of that at all. There's no evidence to support the assertion that the board was looking at 4.3.1.2 when it said that ASSE says no valves downstream. My time is up, but with that, I will respectfully request that this court reverse. And given the tenor of the discussion, I would suggest respectfully that this court remand this matter back to the plumbing board for a more fulsome, hard look and a deeper question into what's going on with this situation so that it can be resolved. Thank you.
Thank you. The matter is submitted. We thank counsel for your briefing and argument. We will issue our decision within 90 days. Thank you.